America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is the NFL trade deadline today, and we are looking closely at the ticker, trying to figure out whether or not our Atlanta Falcons are going to do something, guys. There are a lot of teams who have already done some things, and we'll go down the list here in just a second. But if you're going, okay, what is it that they might do? Well, there's a variety of things. I think it all focuses, though, on the defense. I think it's defensive line-oriented. It doesn't necessarily have to be an edge rusher. It could be a defensive personnel, front seven kind of guy, Mike, to add some depth.
Right.
But as of right now, Mike, we've not heard anything as far as the Falcons are concerned. There are a lot of rumors about guys that were on the block that apparently are not going anywhere. For example, like DK Metcalf. He's not going to be traded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Myles Garrett. We've talked about these guys. Crosby. But there's still 2 hours left in the trade deadline, and sometimes these deals go down to the wire, Mike, and we might not get word until after 4 o'clock.
No, if we were interested in Za'Darius Smith, the ask wasn't the issue because the Lions only gave up a fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Now, we had talked about Azeez Ojulari from the Giants, and according to Diana Rossini, the Giants are asking for a high five pick or late fourth rounder. We've got those. We have a fourth rounder and we have a fifth rounder. We lost one of our fifth rounders over the tampering nonsense, but we do have the stock. Okay, we got the stuff. If we needed to get if they are interested, we don't know if they're interested in Ojulari. They have been linked to him in some reports.
All right, so that happens today, and this tells us exactly what Mike and I have been discussing for weeks now. Once Aiden Hutchinson went down, is our team Lions good enough to go to the Super Bowl without trying to replace him in some way, shape, or fashion? Listen, they went to Green Bay last week, guys, without Aiden Hutchinson and beat the Packers handily. I believe this is still the best football team right now, not only in the NFC, but, Mike, maybe in the NFL. And I know the Chiefs are undefeated. But to add Za'Darius Smith gives them exactly what they were looking for. And then, you know, there were some silly moves today. We just saw the Cowboys who came into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And to make a trade for a wide receiver that couldn't even get on the field where he was makes no sense to me, Mike Bell. Jonathan Mingo wasn't playing in Carolina.
That's a seventh or a sixth round pick at best.
Couldn't believe this.
Right? Sixth round tops.
So the Cowboys, they say, hey, look what we're going to do. We're going to go get a wide receiver. Okay, good luck with that. It makes no sense. Dak is on the IR. So, again, you're dealing with Cooper Rush. But that was just to make a move, I feel like. The Bears, Mike. They send a seventh round 2025 pick. They get, running back Khalil Herbert to the Bengals. He goes to the Bengals from the Bears. And then also today, we talked about this as well, guys. Steelers get another wide receiver. Okay. Now, how good are the Steelers going to be? Because Mike Williams, who was disgruntled with the Jets, now ends up with the Steelers. You add that to what already looks like a halfway decent offense. Mike, How much does he upgrade them?
You saw how Pickens and the vertical passing game happened almost immediately once Russell Wilson got under center. So now with Mike Williams, who zigged when he was supposed to zag, and of course his good teammate Aaron Rodgers throws him under the bus the week after that. Yeah, he was odd man out once they went and made the trade for Devontae Adams. So yeah, Mike Williams, that's a nice piece. That's Arthur Smith now. He's got two athletic wide receivers, and certainly Pickens is probably the more dynamic, but that's great for the Steelers fans.
All right, real quick, and Turtle, I want to bring you in on this because Ojulari is still available as we know right now. Right, that is what we're hearing, and that is a guy, Mike, we have targeted. I'm saying us.
Yes. Giants, again, this from Diana Rossini. They're saying it's a fifth rounder, a good fifth rounder, or a fourth round. They'll take any fourth rounder for Ojulari. We have that. We have the stock right now. We have those picks. If that was something, if they liked him and they earmarked him, and we saw him the other night, look pretty darn good, you know, stopping things up. He is athletic, he's young, and then you can figure out what you want to do with the contract because it's not a killer either.
Turtle, Giants playing hardball here?
Yeah, they are, and why, I don't know, and I don't know why, if I'm the Falcons, just honestly, just bite the bullet on this one, because this is night and day.
It is.
This is it.
It is. The Giants control this, guys, again, and Mike, those are the terms that Mike's laying out. What we're telling you, Falcon fans, Falcon Nation, this is doable. This is a doable deal, if you want to do it. Now, do they? I don't know. But this is kind of where we're sitting right now. And I'll tell you this. Add Ojulari to this defense already. Again, you saw Grady get after the quarterback last week. I've said this. Grady sacks are bonus to me. He does so many other things. But he got one. Caden Ellis got one. You know, Arnold Ebiketie got one. I just feel like all of a sudden, Mike, it gives you a more versatile front than you currently have. And again, we maybe haven't seen the best of Judon. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but either way, this guy's young.
Now, I don't know because he's got some really good talent on that Giants defensive line. We talked about Thibodeau, how good he is. They went and got Brian Burns in free agency. But Azeez Ojulari's got six sacks. That makes him that would make him the best player on the Falcons next to Jesse Bates on defense.
No doubt about it. 404-726-0929. What do you guys think as we are approaching the deadline? I think another big move today, and we're going to see these guys. And remember at the beginning of the season, before the season started, we were like, Commanders, rookie quarterback.
Probably have 4 or 5 wins by the time we see him end of the season.
Commanders go get Marshawn Lattimore. Now, we're familiar with him because he's been a longtime Saint, 4-time Pro Bowler. And they give up a third, a fourth, and basically a sixth. The reason behind this, guys, is the Commanders had 9 picks going into 2025. So they had additional picks to deal with, and this is not a big deal to them. Dan Quinn and company, Mike, are like, look, we got a better team than we assumed.
But there is nothing I enjoy more than doing hard with good people.
Let's go get a corner who can help us. The deal with Lattimore, though, Mike, he's recovering from a hamstring.
Yeah, you have to wait on him. So you're not going to get him out of the box right now to use for the Commanders. But I mean, they're looking big picture. And they feel that's an area that needs some strengthening for the Commanders. They have given up some passing yards. There have been some high-scoring games. But, yeah, that's one where they're saying they see the talent. Like, we've seen Marshawn Lattimore up close out of Ohio State. He's been a solid piece for the Saints in our battles over the years. So they were willing to pull the trigger and give up some picks. So, but it is interesting when you get a guy and you're not going to be able to use him just yet either.
404-726-0929. Follow us on social media. It is Twitter, not X to us, at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes in the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on, and we will keep you updated. Torrey McElhaney is going to join us, guys. Falcons.com writer and reporter. We were hoping, to be quite honest with you, by now something would have happened and we could talk to Torrey and maybe we'd have a situation where we were talking about a specific player. Nevertheless, she will get us caught up on what she knows and what's going on up there at Flower Branch. Mike and I will be up there tomorrow on Wednesday to talk to Coach. And by the way, if nothing happens, we will certainly address it with Coach tomorrow, Mike, in our own way on the show and ask him about this because I think a lot of Falcon fans say, hey, aren't we kind of right there too? Right. Aren't we in this mix of teams?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly have exceeded expectations. It's like the offense is dialed in. We've already talked about it. We've got good depth, knock wood for the injuries on offensive line when guys are banged up. We've got the skill position players. I mean, I thought, would they try to get somebody, if they felt it was going to be a long term, which it doesn't seem to be with Drake London. It just seems to be a hip pointer, which maybe takes 2 weeks or three, hopefully not. But they need edge rush, and they need athleticism. They know they need that classic outside linebacker that can walk up. And look, we love Caden Ellis. That's why they brought Caden Ellis in here. But Jimmy Lake's system, and we've gone round and round on this, about Ebiketie getting better and the younger guys getting better. But remember, guys, dudes that were supposed to have an impact, certainly Braylon Trice, maybe more than Ruka Roro, who was considered a project, we have lost our second and third round picks that we drafted. They're out. for the season. Maybe, and not for the season, but certainly on long-term IR right now, is a row. But, man, we got to get some athleticism, Carl, because we've got those dual-threat quarterbacks on the schedule, projected to see them in the playoffs. We need some more athleticism. We need some guys to get the quarterback on the ground.
Now, I got to address this, because somebody asked me this. Well, you know, maybe they don't do anything because they're going to wait for these guys to get healthy. You don't wait in the NFL. You don't know what happens next season.
No.
You don't know how every year is going to look. If you're in it right now, Mike, just like what the Commanders did, you do something to help your team right now. This is not about waiting on any of these guys who may be injured. Guys, they'll make their way back. Mike will be deeper next year, but that's next year. I'm in the midst of a season where I can actually do something we haven't done in a very long time. So do everything you possibly can up there at Flowery Branch and make this team better.
So I know that fans sit there and they go, well, what do we got? Well, I mean, we don't have the full complement of picks, but we still have the first and the second. And I know that, you know, there's nobody coming off that. Like Myles Garrett we talked about and Max Crosby, those guys aren't options. The best we can get is a guy with six sacks, and that's nothing to sneeze at.
No,
it's great. And, you know, again, it started with our buddy James Palmer that used to be with NFL Network. Diana Rossini's got it. So it just makes sense. Sometimes, Carl, people look at the team that needs something and a team that has something and go, well, they got to talk. I presume that Terry and the Giants are talking.
They are.
I couldn't imagine why you wouldn't when you've got a two-three-year window, however you look at it, with Cousins and the way we look on offense. Why are we monkeying around? Let's get it.
All right. This is where we're at. Countdown's on. 4 o'clock's the deadline. We will keep you updated. And again, if they make...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Make a move. You will hear it first right here on your home for Atlanta Falcons football. Coming up! Tori McElhaney's going to join us. Falcons.com. We'll talk to her not only about where this team is, but where we're going. We're headed to the Saints where they fired their coach. They got a new OC or a new interim head coach, should I say. And a lot of issues going on. And in the day, they trade Marshawn Lattimore. We'll talk to Tori next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Wes Durham. I just saw him out in the hallway, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He's going to join us in studio. We'll talk some football with him, some Falcons, but we'll also talk college football because he calls college football as well. And tonight, the playoff committee comes out with their first rankings. All right, we'll see what that looks like. Right now, let's talk to a friend of the show, Tori McElhaney, Falcons.com writer, reporter. She does a terrific job for the Falcons and covering that team. And today with the trade deadline, Tori, I know you're watching all of this, and I think a lot of Falcon fans are like, okay, what's it mean for us? What about us? What is your vibe, just generally speaking, about the potential of doing something today before the deadline at 4 o'clock for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact of the matter is like everything can always be manipulated. You know, like the salary cap can be manipulated. How many draft picks you're giving up can be manipulated. You can always make room for someone if it's the right someone. However, I do think that the Falcons are in the situation where they have to be a bit careful about it. You think about how many, especially in the next draft class in 2025, how many draft picks that they have already lost because of other deals or tampering violations. So you're really talking about, if you are moving draft capital, you're moving it from 2 years down the road. It's like, do you, in reality, are you getting a player for potentially 1 year on an expiring contract? There are just so many different variables that you have to think about. And I honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing comes down to the wire and nothing's really done because of this, because of all the things that you have to juggle. Even knowing you have a pass rush issue, one game is what it was, but you have eight other games where it wasn't good enough. So I think it's really, really hard to dictate right now, especially looking at the moves that are being made across the league at the current moment.
I know that the name that we were just talking about last break is Azeez Ojulari, former Georgia Bulldog. He's only 24. He's got six sacks. You know, at some point you'd have to do a deal or figure out what you can do with the contract. But it is intriguing. It would certainly check a lot of boxes. But to your point, the ask, I mean, do you feel that they feel they could win a Super Bowl right now? I think a lot of Falcon fans say, yes, we've got an offense. It's a lot like 2016. We just got to maybe find one more piece. So do you think Fontenot and these guys are willing to pay through the nose, or you just think they're still going to be pragmatic when it comes to the ask?
I kind of tend to lean more towards pragmatic, especially if the reports are correct as to what the Giants are wanting for Azeez. I don't know if that's a price the Falcons have the ability to pay right now, and one that they would want to. Now, does that mean the deal doesn't get done, or this isn't on the table, or they're not having conversations about it right now? Absolutely not. But I do think that when it comes to this front office, this regime, they have been very pragmatic is the word, and trying not to kick the can down the road too far and get yourself in a situation like what Terry Fontenot inherited here, or what the Saints are going through right now.
Tori, what about this pass rush? We got three sacks, right? And I know you've written about it, and we've talked about it, and everybody's talked about it. And I know everybody's sick of talking about it. But we got three last week against the Cowboys, but specifically Arnold Ebiketie. And what are you hearing from his teammates and, more importantly, the coaches as you discuss this issue that has been a problem for our football team about Arnold Ebiketie?
Yeah, so I do think that looking at the collection of games up to last week, I know that the stats for Arnold Ebiketie weren't good. He was generating his lowest pass rush percentage on rush plans in his career, in a year that you expected him to kind of be the bell cow of the group and have a breakout year. So that was a little curious to me. Grady Jarrett was also having some down percentages in terms of pass rush success. So when you see that, it's like, what's going on here? Because these are players that, in theory, should be producing more and more. And I think when I look at it, and from what I've talked to guys like Caden Ellis, what I found was really interesting, it's like, I didn't necessarily think that, I know everybody's talking about Caden Ellis specifically, but I didn't necessarily think that the Falcons just threw everything at the kitchen sink at Dak Prescott. I actually think that they just evolved what they had been doing. They've always been very adamant about the versatility in which Caden Ellis could be used. And I think that they were able to incorporate Arnold Ebiketie a little bit more. I don't know just off the top of my head what the snap count differentiation was for Arnold Ebiketie this past week as opposed to the weeks before. But I have to imagine that it was just more production. I don't know if we saw him more. It's just there was a finish to what we saw from him. And I think that bodes well for what this team could look like moving forward. But I'm kind of still really hesitant about the pass rush because, like what I said, you did it for one game. You got three sacks in one game. You had good pressure. Dak Prescott was under pressure over and over again. But that was one out of the last nine games. Be able to do it multiple times in a row, and then we can talk about it.
Tori McElhaney is with us, guys, Falcons.com writer, reporter, and like us, she hears the same stuff we hear, Jimmy Lake, and they talk about getting closer and getting there. So this week we got there, but you're right, you got to sustain it. It doesn't matter now, but Carl and I, just so we're not the only guys, because fans didn't get to see the guys at practice, Braylon Trice could have had an impact, I thought, this year as a rookie. Would you buy that, Tori, if he was out there?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I do think so, especially how things were trending in this in training camp before he got hurt. I honestly think that the way that we would look at this 2024 rookie class would be very, very different if Braylon Trice wouldn't have suffered a season-ending injury. I think he was trending towards a lot of playing time, especially knowing the way that this defensive front has been rotated in and out. I think he was going to be really, really important for the Falcons, even in year one, and the ability that he has. And so I know Rondale Moore and some of these injuries that have picked up here and there, but that injury to Braylon Trice, I think, completely changed the way that you look at this draft class and the production that you're getting out of them, and also how much playing time they're actually getting.
Torrey McElhaney joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about our Falcons. All right, so let's turn the page a little bit. Saints, they're interesting right now, right? I mean, there's a lot going on with them, Torrey. Yeah, well, and we can't get caught up with all the stuff that's going on with them and kind of, I don't even want to say look past them, but right. More importantly, you know, take care of our business. Because I feel like you win this game, you're already in control of the South. You win this game, it's, you know, come on. It's secondary, right? I mean, we know what's going to happen. But what's your opinion on heading into this Saints game?
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of similar to the juxtaposition of what the Seattle game was to the Dallas game. In the Seattle game, you have a team that's coming off of a 3-game skid. On paper, you feel like the Falcons should beat them. They don't. They come out flat. They don't win. And then you fast forward 2 weeks, and similar set of circumstances. Dallas is on a 2-game skid. Falcons are coming off a big win. On paper, they should realistically beat this team, and they do. And I think that was a big talking point of Raheem and players in the postgame locker room after the Dallas win, was like, we had this example of what can happen when you don't show up and play to the level and have the start that you know you should have, because you didn't have that against Seattle, but you had it against Dallas. So I think the way this Falcons team shows up in the first half in New Orleans is going to heavily dictate kind of the pace of the game that we see. This is a game that the Falcons should have control of from start to finish, considering everything that's going on with the Saints, the trades, the coaching changes, the injuries, all of it. This is a game that on paper, it's the Falcons. They should win. But the thing about that is sometimes when you get a team that's on as significant of a skid and slide and in such a bad position as the Saints are, they can be dangerous, because a lot of these players that are still under contract with the New Orleans Saints, you think about their salary cap situation for next year, they're looking for different contracts because the Saints are going to have to shed a lot of them. And that makes this team, I think, pretty dangerous at this junction in the season, considering everything that's going on.
It's a trap.
I'm just and only because it seems like a lot of Saints players, if they didn't, maybe I dislike is a strong word, but had certainly tuned out Dennis Allen and were ready for some new leadership. And sometimes the special teams coach, he's a crazy man. And we love this knucklehead, and we've seen it before. Hopefully we will not be the victim of that in the trap game. Torrey McElhaney is with us, guys, from Falcons.com. I know we'll get the injury designation starting tomorrow, but you think everything's okay with Drake London?
Yeah, I think Drake London and Grady Jarrett, it's looking good. I think from everything that Grady Jarrett reportedly said in the locker room yesterday, scans came back good. He feels day-to-day. Same thing with Drake London kind of also being day-to-day. I don't know if that means they get fully ready to go for this Sunday in New Orleans. I guess we'll have to see once practices start tomorrow, and we'll have more of an idea of how much they're being held back and all that kind of stuff. But I think the nature of it doesn't feel as bad. I think when you hear Achilles and when you hear hip, you're really kind of worried about it. But I think ultimately it's not the end-all be-all for these guys, and we should expect them probably to have a quick turnaround.
Torrey, why is Kirk Cousins playing so well? I mean, offensive player of the week, but listen, this isn't just a couple of weeks. If you go back 4 of the last 5 weeks, he's been great.
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right. This is a guy who I think is coming into his own, not just in himself and understanding where he is at this point in his career, but this is someone who has actively figured out what his playmakers can do. He trusts them. That trust has been built. He knows where they are. He has an expert knowledge of the scheme that Zach Robinson wants to work out of and what the calls are. And I think that to me is what has led to this success. You look at how he's progressing through his progressions, for lack of a better term. And you see him feeling so much more comfortable in the pocket. I think something that I tweeted out yesterday was a sign that Kirk Cousins is really thriving in this offense is the fact that he was not really good under pressure in the first 5-6 weeks of the season. The production wasn't there. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, I want to say he's been very, very good. Over 200 yards when under pressure. That, to me, shows the confidence in knowing guys are going to be there, knowing what he has open, even when he has less than 2 seconds to get the ball off. That's why you're seeing him be so successful in recent weeks, because there is that comfort level there.
And then Kirk also told us, you know, that, hey, the injury, this is about, you know, they said about a year out is when things will come back to where you can do everything as far as, you know, being able to push off and scramble for 12 or 13 yards and do quarterback sneaks. Hey, one last question before we let you go. Why only one target and one catch for Kyle Pitts, you think, last week?
I think that when I look at it, I think that Dallas did a good job once Drake London went out that they could adjust accordingly. And I think that's why you saw what was happening with Bijan. You saw Bijan's numbers go up. You saw Bijan's usage go up. And I think it was because a lot of the pressure was being put on Kyle Pitts as a deep threat instead of having that split between him and Drake London, because Drake London's not on the field. And I think that was kind of why that happened. Of course, you're getting the ball to the guys who are open. You're getting the ball to the guys that the defense is actively not taking away. And that happened to be Bijan this past week.
Great stuff, Tori. We'll see you up there tomorrow as we make our way up to talk to coach and company. And we got to get ready for these Saints. We cannot take this game lightly, guys. I don't care what's going on with them right now. We got to go handle business. Tori McElhaney, follow her, and thank you for joining us.
Awesome. We'll see y'all guys tomorrow.
Yes, cool. Sir. I think she's right, by the way, about the whole Kyle Pitts. Mike and I were kind of discussing this. And even though you expect, okay, at least we do, every game for him to have, I don't know, 6-7 targets, it was weird to look at the stat sheet after right. The game and say, wow, he only caught. But once Drake went down, there was an adjustment on both sides. Our offense changed a little bit, and so did their defense.
Hey, Wes Drewham's coming in real quick. I got a text from Rusty Manziel, who's listening to us right now, Carl. He says, man, he covered his E's when he was at Marietta since 10th grade. He goes, an animal. Work ethic, everything you'd want for this team if we can make a trade.
Let's do it. We're counting down. It's 2:35. Trade deadline's at 4 o'clock. We'll come back. Wes is going to join us in studio here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Yeah. We will continue to talk football here on the show because today is the trade deadline. We're counting down to 4 o'clock and seeing if our Falcons are going to do anything. Thanks to Tori McElhaney for joining us.
Tori.
And look who...
Tori McElhaney was on the show?
Yeah.
Well, this is a downgrade, clearly.
Look who's joined us in studio.
It's Wes Drewham. Now, for young listeners and folks new to the program, years ago, Mr. Voice, one of our Mr. Voices, who does a lot of work for our sister station, V103, when the Falcons came over here to 92.9, and it was like, join Dave Archer and Wes Drewham.
And if you don't believe me, I carry it on my phone. So when you see me in the airport and you say it, I might pull the clip up on my phone and play it for you.
So if you're a tech fan or whatever, you've known Wes for all these years as a legendary broadcaster, why did Dukesville always say, Drewham, that's why, goes back about 10 years.
Because we heard that, and we laughed for about 3 hours in the studio.
Yeah, until the management then came in here and said, oh, they didn't do that. And then they went back down and re-recorded it and did it again.
That's right. Exactly right. So that's where that comes from, and we have fun with it. And I'm so glad Wes has allowed us to do that over the years. Good to have you in studio.
Thanks. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, man.
Everybody looks good. Mike looks good. Yeah. Having a rough fall on Saturdays, but Sundays are looking up.
Well,
yes. By the way, I had to laugh. I know we're going to talk Falcons here. I got Wes. Double the Wes. We got two segments with Wes.
Yeah.
I just got an email from the Florida State Boosters. Great opportunity to be on the field after the Florida game Thanksgiving week for some photos.
Yeah.
If you're so inclined.
Well, that's a nice story to get you down
Turtle,
there.
Turtle, what do we think Mike on the field is worth to the American public? We can get this done, Carl. Carl, I feel this like, I mean, you know, no lie, Carl, this probably needs to be done.
Well, I'd love to see him. He's been revolting ever since the first week. Well, Ireland, to be honest with you.
They've been revolting.
Yeah, since Ireland. He got back from Ireland. He was like, I'm done. I'm finished. Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I was at the terminal in Dublin. I looked around. I didn't see a lot of leadership in that airplane terminal with those players getting on the charter.
I'm telling you. And so he's been on a downward spiral since then. The best thing about Sunday.
Fourth and one to Darnell Mooney did not suck. Woo. That would be
great.
That'd be near the top of the list.
No, it was great.
Yeah.
The best thing about Sunday was... Where y'all going?
Right.
Oh,
Cowboy fans were scurrying out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
I know.
I almost said going to break. Dave, apparently they're offering something free in the Gulch. They're giving the great line, and people that know that listen to you, whenever I say they're getting out of here like somebody's giving something away free in the parking lot, that's the line. And I did not say that because I thought, I don't want to do it in a home game. It's much better on the road when the home team leaves.
Yeah,
we had that in Charlotte a few weeks ago.
Right.
There weren't a lot there to start with, but by the end, it was like we were having the Carolinas chapter of the Falcon Club meeting. That's what it was at the end in Charlotte.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That was great. We're talking with West Durham guys, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. But you're right. The Mooney play, the offense – as a whole, and we were just having this conversation, Mike and I, about the adjustments that were made once Drake went down.
Right.
I don't think a lot of casual fans that might have watched realized there were some tweaks there. And it worked, obviously, with Ray being in the game more and all those kinds of things. But let's just talk about this offense because it's what's carried this football team.
Yeah, and it's come in balance now. We've seen a game where there's run. We've seen a game where there's pass. We've seen a game now, a couple of them, where it's both. And I would put Sunday in the both category. I thought you ran the ball effectively. I thought you threw the ball effectively. What you didn't have to do was throw for 500 yards like Kirk did against Tampa, which is fine, but you really want to achieve a degree of balance. And here's the other part about it. I think you're going to see as we evolve in the season, knock on wood, they stay healthy. I think you're going to see games where it's Pitts, games where it's Mooney, games where it's Drake, games where it might be Ray, might be Kadarrell Hodge. I mean, Kadarrell Hodge had his first catch the other day since the catch against the Bucs. So I just think that that's kind of the way you got to look at this. I feel the same way about Bijan and Tyler in the run game. And it speaks to the width and the breadth, I guess, of Zach's playbook. And I'm pretty excited about where they're going to go and where they can go as long as they stay healthy. And I think Dahlman comes back, you get a little more depth built there. I think that's important as well.
I know that the Steeler game does seem like a century ago because, you know, Kirk wasn't 100%. Now, he told us there was a timeline for his recovery to where he could do all the things he wanted to do.
Sure.
And Zach was kind of limited by some of those things that Kirk was dealing with. And now, I got to tell you, Carl and I were talking about this off there. I'm just afraid that we're not one and done with Zach because you know how offensive coordinators become hot properties, in the offseason. I just love what he's doing and the rhythm they've gotten into.
You know, I think there are two things that are steering this team in a way that we just kind of passed over when it happened. And I think they're not very sexy topics, and that's why people just tend to move on. Mm-hmm. One is the and I talk about this in the college game with the intentionality of the transfer portal because coaches talk about we needed a guy who could do X, and we went after that guy. We didn't need a Y, Z, Q, and R guy. We needed an X guy. Well, I think this is where Terry Fontenot and Kyle Smith and Ryan Pace and that group on the administrative side built the right roster with the right people. Darnell Mooney is an example. He's having a career year. Now, it may not show in terms of numbers or touchdowns or whatever the case may be, but I think in terms of his impact, it's been an important add, right? Coaching staff. Mike, to your point, think about when Raheem was named the coach and how quickly the coordinator stuff and all the other little layers of the staff started taking place. And remember, too, he kept a handful of guys who were here, which I thought was also really important. T.J. Yates, Dwayne Ledford, guys like that. I think that what you're going to see in Zach Robinson, he's a first-time offensive coordinator this year. And I don't know where teams are going to feel like Zach is, no matter what Atlanta does. I mean, they could continue to ascend offensively. I don't know. If the opportunities present themselves, good for Zach Robinson. But at the same time, too, I like the depth of the coaching staff, much as I like the depth of the front office. And I think we had to get there in a way. And we did it administratively. Now, certainly, it feels like it's happening from a coaching perspective as well.
Well, and I'll say this about Zach. For those who have not had a chance to visit with him or talk with him, he's one of the most upbeat guys.
Right.
Like, smiling.
They all are.
Smiling all the time. Like, he's not one of these guys that's in the lab and freaking out about stuff. Like, you see him and you talk to him and he's like, he's so just even keel. And I think that's important because in these games, sometimes stuff happens and you don't need a guy up there that's panicking. Yeah. And you just, to Mike's point, we didn't know what that was going to look like. Now we get a sense. Hey, sudden change situation or whatever, we turn it over, we're going to come back, we're going to call the right plays, we just need to execute.
Yeah, and I think the other part too, and I failed to mention a guy like Jerry Gray on defense, who I think Jerry Gray, now with Jimmy Lake and some of the things that are happening over there, that also is helping that side of the ball. Look, we start out, we start out Mike Bell special the other day. We got Prescott on the ground, back-to-back snaps. I mean, I was surprised he didn't run on the field.
I tweeted, how about our Atlanta sack exchange?
I saw that, and I was like, he just – but Bell waits for no man on Twitter, Carl. But I thought that at the same time, the coaching density of this staff, and that's the best word I guess I've got for it right now, is really impacting the success of the team. But make no mistake, the positive reinforcement of Raheem Morris as a human being and the coach is a big part of why this team, I think, is gelling at the right time. And I think I heard you guys say this a couple weeks ago. It's fine to win big games early in the season, but the real big games start now. They start December. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the year, and hopefully that can be a reality for Atlanta.
Wes Durham's with us, guys. We got bonus Durham. We get two segments with Wes. We'll do some pro and college, and later Wes with tips on how to spruce up your tailgate. The thing about the Falcons.
Carl and I know exactly how to spruce up a tailgate. It doesn't have anything to do with potato salad.
This is true.
The Falcons defense. All right, let's get to it. We know that we've gotten better. We did. Yes, you mentioned it. We got back-to-back sacks. But do you think we – now, again, we'll never know what the ask is. We'll never know if all these media reports are inaccurate or whatever.
Sure.
But I just feel like the solution is not necessarily in the building. We need some extra help at outside linebacker, strong side linebacker, whatever you want to call it.
All right, let me ask you, the radio version of Jeff Darlington.
Yes.
What do you think the equitable terms would be to get – you want to use Ojulari? Go ahead. You want to use somebody else? Go ahead. What do you have on the table right now, if you're the general manager, to get Ojulari in here?
We've got a fourth-round pick, and if it came down to, like, let's just say for argument's sake, a fourth-round this year and a sixth-rounder next year? Fine, because I'm not sure
the Giants are doing that deal.
Because now here's the problem: we don't have a third because that's what we gave the Patriots for Judon.
That's
and
correct.
He's certainly not worth the second. He is an unrestricted free agent at the end of, so it's a rental player anyway. Mm-hmm. So unless you have him in the grand scheme of things, because we're going to get Braille and Trice back and other pieces. I just thought that you have a window, a finite amount of time with Kirk Cousins, albeit 2 or 3 years, and this seems like things are now ahead of schedule. So let's go for it.
Yeah, and look, there's always going to be the itch that every fan wants scratched on their team. That's why it's the league, right?
I mean,
you know, Kansas City's out there today, despite, you know, pulling one out last night against the Bucs. Kansas City's trying to scratch an itch, right? They did it with DeAndre Hopkins, but there still might be, oh, God, we got to do this in the run game. Oh, we need a backup here. Sometimes the math just doesn't work on the deal. And Atlanta, with an hour to go in this, may be one of those teams where the math doesn't work. Now, at the same time, you might be right, but the Giants strike me as a hard team to do a deal with right now because there's so much swirling about what they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know Sean very well, the GM, and I don't know his background. Obviously, he's worked in Buffalo and some other places too. But, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to have to get a quarterback.
Correct.
They still have done some things in free – we all watch the Hard Knocks thing. They've done some things in free agency coming into the season to address run game. They let a corner go. They need some collateral. Maybe it's a player in picks.
Right. And that's something we haven't even talked about. We're just simply talking about draft stock.
And does Atlanta want to shed a player in picks?
Mm.
And to your point, is it a contract that's expiring? Is there some benefit either way? Don't forget, too, you're talking about a team you're going to play.
Right.
And sometimes that factors into it, weirdly. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, oh, well, we're going to play them down the line. We really don't need that moment.
Right.
And some teams back off that way, too. But would I be surprised? No. Would I be stunned? Either way, I'm not going to be one way or the other if they do or if they don't in the next hour and 7 minutes.
Another move that has happened, another Steelers trade.
God.
Steelers are adding proven pass rusher Preston Smith from the Packers for a 7th-round pick. This is a low risk move that could pay off big. Remember, they have TJ Watt. We saw these guys, Alex Highsmith. So if Preston Smith is motivated, which my guess is he will be.
He's on a deal. He's at the end of the year.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
the Steelers add some depth to their front seven, and they add more pass rush, which, guys, let's be honest. You're playing Lamar. I don't know what's going to happen in that division.
Right.
AFC is a beat. You got to have to go through the Chiefs. I mean, you start looking at this.
Chiefs, Bills.
Yeah, and you start saying, all right, if the Ravens. Steelers are in this mix, so this is a low-risk move for them, but that is another move for the Steelers, who also made a deal earlier.
Sorry to cut you off. 2.5 sacks this year, 8 the year before, 8.5, 9. So a guy, and he's big, sort of like the 3-4, 265, you know, sort of in between, you can play him tweener. Nice piece. Nice pickup for the Steelers.
Let me ask you this. The Steelers are starting to – now, remember, they've got a quarterback insurance policy.
Yeah, and they picked up Mike Williams, by the way. They traded for Mike Williams.
Okay.
Yes.
So they've gotten a receiver.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they went – they've got the quarterback insurance policy with Fields and Wilson. They can run the ball. The offensive – by the way, the rookie center from West Virginia has turned out to be a fine, terrific player, handled the point of attack against us, and has done it just about to everybody else they've played. So where how are they telling you by doing this they're going to win games? Defensively.
Yeah.
They're now going to say – if we can score 20, we're going to win every game.
We're good.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And I think that's what Mike Tomlin, that's the world they're comfortable living in this year. So if they think they can shut down, Kansas City would be the outlier, but the other two, they're capable of getting. And the Ravens are in their division. So Pittsburgh has got to find a way to get to Baltimore or settle on the wild card. And quite frankly, I don't know their schedule very well, Mike, but it would appear to me they've got to gun up here a little bit in the next month.
Well, they haven't played a division game yet.
Oh, they really got to gun up then.
That's right. And this is why.
They got six left then.
Unlike us.
They play the Ravens. They got the Commanders, Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers. Yeah,
whoa. Ravens, Commanders?
Yes. They've got the Commanders this weekend in D.C., and then they host the Ravens the following week.
And they are 6-3 or 7-2?
Commander 7-2.
No. Steelers. 6-3.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pittsburgh and the Ravens are what, 7-2?
Yes.
Okay.
Or the Commanders are, should we say, right?
What's the Ravens? The Ravens?
Steelers are 6-2, Ravens 6-3, Commanders, as you just mentioned, 7-2. Yeah.
Okay, so the math now is really kind of, they're in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need, and now the Ravens Commanders, that's a big double. That's like for Atlanta. You see these games, like everybody talks about New Orleans. Carolina then is week 18. That's the last division game. So you're going to play Sunday, and you're not going to play again until week 18.
Mm.
Think about it, though. You got Commanders, Giants. You got all these other games that are going to factor in the math of your ability to move up.
Move up. And these are big. Wes, we got to take a quick break.
Right.
More Wes coming up. We got to talk some college football because
CFP's
the playoff committee.
Out tonight. The big poll is at 7 o'clock.
That's the one.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right. That's the one we're concerned about. We're going to talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.